Howdy, everybody, and welcome to the June 27th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I am Uncle Bill.
And I'm a creepy Kentuckian, if you will. And this week, we're just going to be talking about a bunch of bullshit this week.
That's true. I think this is a record, though, for like the past 2 or 3 weeks of actually doing a consistent show. I don't think we've done that in a fortnight.
Well, with you involved.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
This is a third straight week for Uncle Bill. Let's see if he can make it 4 weeks.
If I can make it a month, it'll be like being in AA or something. I get a chip, like a Dead Pit chip.
Yeah, it'd be one of those Weight Watchers cards.
Yeah.
I've lost 5 pounds.
That's right. I've done fucking 4 shows in a row. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of news and things to talk about, but one of the first things.
Well, we got a lot of stuff, because there was a lot of big news this week, believe it or not. But one thing that, like, I think I was talking to you on a show maybe 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about, like, you were like, I can't believe Dario Argento hadn't canceled that show yet.
Because I've known about, okay, so he's been scheduled to do Days of the Dead in Indianapolis for like, I don't know, months now. And ever since I heard that announcement, I've just been like, he's going to cancel.
Right.
Like, I never for 1 second thought that he wouldn't cancel that show. I don't know why, but yeah. And then up till last week, I was like, wow, he's really going to be there.
Yeah. But no.
No.
And a lot of people, like, I posted some stuff on Facebook about it, making fun of Steve, because, and here's how it happens with Steve and Dana both, because they both do the same damn thing. And I tell people to never do this until maybe, not never do it, just
no,
go to
there's
the show.
Really, there's really no way to do this.
There is no reason why you should pre-order tickets at all.
No.
I mean, okay, if it's an autograph ticket where that's the only way you're going to be able to get the autograph, I guess you have to. But as far as buying a weekend pass or something like that, fuck no.
Well, here's the thing, man. A lot of times, though, like if it is a thing, like you have to buy an autograph ticket, and the person that completely turned me against this was John Gray, because that was his thing to do, was like he would have people buy like weekend passes and things like that, autograph tickets and stuff like that. But then he would never put on a show. And this happened a bunch of times.
Right.
But this guy was a professional crook, apparently. Because,
right.
Like,
yeah, there's not been too many people like him, thankfully.
Yeah. But it's the same kind of scenario, because they say up front, these promoters say up front, if this person doesn't show up and like you've bought a weekend pass or something like that, then there's no refunds. Like that's, because that's why they put that on there. All these people are subject to cancel at any time, and we don't have any control over that. So that was, in my mind, I'm like, I know what's going to happen, man. Like, the only person I want to see at that show or give any kind of fuck about was him. So I was like, I'm going to end up buying these VIP passes or something like that, and he's going to fucking cancel, and then they're going to be like, well, sorry. Like, we got somebody in his place. Like, they've got, I don't even know who it was, somebody from Night of the Demons or something like that in his place, which I love Night of the Demons, but that's not, you know, you can get the whole fucking cast. That's not the point. Like,
right.
So, yeah, I didn't do that, thankfully. I didn't. I came a hair of doing it, but I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dario Argento, as far as I know, has only done maybe 1 or 2 shows in the United States ever. And he's been announced at I don't know how many.
Well, I remember years ago the big thing was Whorehound. Like, he was announced at Whorehound.
Right.
And he was one of the big guests, and I just remember all the clusterfuck that surrounded that. But, yeah, I mean, that's the main reason I didn't expect him to show up. He has the worst track record of, like, missing shows. Like, you should never depend on somebody like that to carry a show, and they really did. Like,
right. So, yeah, no Dario Argento again for Steve. And something similar happened like this, because there's another person that cancels all the time, too. But he's very insignificant, I would say. I mean, Dana would probably be pissed at me for saying this, but Ted Raimi, she's been always wanting to meet him.
I didn't know he cancels a lot, does he?
Yeah, he cancels all the time.
He's busy. I mean, you can understand that.
He's busy helping his brother. That's pretty much what he does.
He's carrying the camera around for his brother.
Yeah. He's like, bro, you mean to do something? Give me some money, bro.
We were talking about this, though. The funniest part, really, about this whole situation, other than the fact that Steve spent a bunch of money on it, was...
Yeah, and now, like, okay. And I guess the show's okay looking, but, I mean, it's still, it's like every other Days of the Dead show.
Yeah.
you know.
It's like every other show, really.
I mean, and honestly, like, I've heard good thing. I've heard that show is a fun show to go to. It's very laid back, not a whole lot of lines or anything like that. You don't have to worry about it. But, I mean, if you've been to one Days of the Dead show, you've been to pretty much all of them because they have the same guests pretty much at every show. I know Kevin Tenney is one that they've got that's, you don't see him a whole lot, and he's a cool guy, so.
I think they've got, like, pretty much the most complete Night of the Demons reunion you could have, really. Like, yeah. 6 or 7 people from that movie are showing up.
Yeah.
But.
You can get Jill Terashita's autograph if you want to.
Yeah, and it's some other dude, too. Like, you never see at these shows. The funniest part, though.
Jill Terashita had some amazing tits back in the day, though.
It's so odd. Like, she couldn't act at all, and she was Asian and everything. But,
yeah, I remember talking to Kevin Tenney years ago about this. And I was like, an audition, like, did you actually, like, have these girls remove their tops? Because that girl, she had picture-perfect boobs. Like, I couldn't imagine boobs any more perfect than hers.
I just think that's one of the funniest parts of that movie, though, is, like, her death scene where she's, oh, just comes up like, breaks her neck. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, the thing about the Argento whatever that makes it funnier to me is, like, why he canceled. Because it wasn't. Like, he didn't have a filming commitment or anything like that. That's the normal reason why people cancel. Apparently, he fucking fell in his house. And I don't know, like, how. Was he painting the house and, like, fell off a fucking ladder? Was he, like, was he trying to get up the steps and, like, fell down the steps? Nobody knows. Well, somebody probably does know, but I don't know.
Dario knows.
Yeah.
He's not telling anybody because he's held up in his house in Rome or whatever, eating SpaghettiOs and shit.
He, like, fell on the ottoman or something. Oh, fuck. I tripped on the ottoman. That's like the fucking count or something.
In all seriousness, though, like, okay, I know we're making light of this, but the bottom line is, like, over the years, we've heard so much bullshit about people canceling shows. Inner ear infections.
One year, Toby Hooper's head exploded or something. Yeah.
He couldn't board an airplane. Oh, I mean, it's just enough. I mean, we've heard enough to know what's bullshit and what ain't. So, if Dario Argento is deathly ill and unable to, if he's broken ribs and legs or anything else, I apologize. But odds are, he probably just stubbed his toe or something and was like, oh, I can't make it, fuck a oof.
Wouldn't it be funny if we find out, like, he fell out of his fucking window or something?
Yeah. Any time, like, a convention or a promoter or anybody says to you guys, we talked to Dario personally or whoever personally, they wanted to come to this show.
Everybody says, every promoter I've ever heard says that, though. Stuff like that, yeah.
No, here's how it works. Here's how the conventions work. Each convention has to offer a large sum of money to get these people to show up, right? They're not excited about going and sitting in front of a table and signing their name all day long for a whole fucking 3 days in a row. Does anybody get excited by doing that? Other than the fact that, you know, you're getting $40 an autograph or $30 an autograph or whatever. People do not get excited to do that shit.
No, most people I've ever met haven't been excited about it, I'll say that.
So, don't let anybody feed you, and don't listen to all that bullshit that people, and I'm not singling out Days of the Dead, I think all promoters are full of shit in some form. They just are. You know, they want people to think, this is the best show. They want to come. They want to come here. We don't want them, really, but they want us, because we are the shit.
That's true.
That's basically how it goes.
It's that business model, yeah.
I'm sorry, no. They've never heard of your fucking show. They didn't really want to come. You contacted them. Paid them money, blah, 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 whatever. That's how it goes. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Yeah, because Steven Spielberg wanted to come in there one time. But
Steven Spielberg's dying to come.
They had just to turn filming, down.
Filming commitments. He can't.
Yeah. But it wasn't filming commitments this time. He fucking just tripped. That kill yeah. Oh, fuck.
he was running to the kitchen for some spaghetti. Oh, my God. I want a meatball. God damn it. I broke my leg.
Shit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that was the bullshit you know,
in general, look, in general, I think it's safe to say at this point, don't count on European whore people to do anything or like to carry a show. I think
more than likely, Lucio Fulci will do a show before you'll see Argento again, at least in the United States.
Yeah. I think that should be a lesson. It'll be a lesson learned for everybody, especially Steve.
Yeah. So, Steve, yeah. Best idea is probably wait until Friday and know that that motherfucker is there before you buy a ticket.
Dude, there are some fuckers that used to do it, like, on the Friday, though. That's the thing. Like, they'd wait up until the damn show started before they'd tell anybody, or some wouldn't even tell anybody at all. They just... people would find out that people didn't show up.
I know. I just... You know, and I've had a lot of people message me about conventions and which one I think is the best and blah, 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 or whatever, you know. And I want to be quite honest with you guys, and I know that, like, some people may listen to this and get pissed off about it. Essentially, they're fucking everyone the same. It's the same thing.
They are.
You know, Horror Hound Show or Fandom Fest or whatever, you're going to have a shitload more people there. But essentially, it's just it's an indoor flea market where people hawk their fucking shit, and you sign, you can get autographs for 30 or 40 bucks a piece, and you can go and wait in line to get in line to get in another line to get a photo op,
yeah,
you know, and then get in another line to get your picture from the photo op. I mean, it's just, if you're a horror fan, you have plenty of money, you want to waste a shit ton of money on a weekend, a convention's where you want to be, because that's probably the biggest money wasting event that I've ever been to. You know, I can't think of one. And, you know, the Freddy thing we were talking about last week.
Ah, shit.
That, when people pay for that.
Did anybody say anything about that? I'm surprised.
Well, a lot of people have been talking about it. When you get people to pay that, you're just opening the floodgates for more of that shit. You know, Kane Hodder is going to be next. I guarantee you. It's going to be another 300 and some bucks. Get a photo of Kane Hodder and all these shit. You know, and it's just, I think that things like this are leading to, and we were talking about this too, like, I don't know if I talked about this with Steve and you, but they're setting themselves up to get in major tax trouble, I think, because you know they're not paying taxes on this shit. You know,
I just, man, if they're not, then I don't know how they've gotten away with this for as long as they have. They have to be doing something.
How? I don't see how. It's cash. They don't have any control over, you know.
It's, but you know, people in the, like, they have to know they're doing conventions in these towns and stuff. Like, how would somebody not?
I would bet anything that they do not pay taxes on that shit.
Who are we talking about? Are you talking about the promoters? Are you talking about the...
I'm talking about the celebrity. I mean, the people that are taking their money.
They don't pay anything. I know that. Yeah.
But you're talking about, like we were saying, tens and possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars they can make on these photo ops.
It is funny if you think about
tax-free?
It.
Tax-free?
If you think about that, man, that will go down. If that's true, if none of these people are paying any taxes on this stuff, that would go down as like on an epic level of like some sort of, I don't know, what you'd even call that. Like, because if I have a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got a job, but if I went and got another job, which I've done this before, then I have to pay taxes on both those jobs, right? I have to get my W-2s right. From both of the jobs, turn them in, and like, that's what happens.
Yeah, and... let's just put this in perspective, okay? This is like, you know, the typical, I'd say a high-paying job around here would be, what, maybe $50,000 or $60,000 a year.
Right.
That'd be a decent-paying job here in Eastern Kentucky. Right. That'd be like somebody in Eastern Kentucky working, making $60,000 a year for 2 years and never paying a goddamn tax. You think they'd get away with that shit?
No, but I can't figure it out. Is there some sort of clause or something where you can do memorabilia shows and not pay tax? What is the deal?
So.
Like, how can you just go around making, like, tons of money and not have it taxed? And if you can, then imagine what will happen once people figure that out.
I think that a lot of these celebrities probably have safes in their house. They probably never...
Well, you remember the Tom Savini story.
Yeah, I mean, we know Tom Savini did.
Yeah.
You know... I think it's interesting. It's an interesting topic. It's a topic that I know people don't want to talk about in the convention business.
I don't think we've ever talked to anybody about that either. Right. Like what happens?
I don't think they would talk about it.
Probably not.
That's my opinion on it.
Unless we're just completely missing something about it that like that would allow them to do that I don't have any idea about.
I don't think so. I mean, it's work, you know, in a way. I mean, it's easy work. You're signing your name. You're standing up, taking a picture, you know, taking a fucking class photo with somebody.
Right.
But I think that the more you see stuff like the Robert Englund thing, people are going to be taking more notice because more money's taking, changing hands at these shows, more and more money. So
it's just so weird.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I got one big news topic and then we'll take a break because there's a few other ones, that we want to talk about this week. First big one up is Rob Zombie, our good buddy. Was interviewed by Radio Metal where he talked about his forthcoming horror film 31, which was announced back last month. Zombie, who wouldn't reveal any plot details, was able to confirm one fact, that it takes place on Halloween night. Uh-oh.
So is it October 31? Is that what it is?
Yeah, 31, he said, because it takes place on October 31st.
Wow.
When asked if the film recalls Captain Spaulding from House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Reject, Zombie explained, no, it's totally different. All I can tell you is it's a completely original idea. It's something new. It's not based on anything. I'll start shooting the movie in the fall. So hopefully starting from October, I'll start shooting it. For right now, I want to keep the details secret, but it's not based on anything. But you can see there's a teaser poster online if you want to look at it that has like a
demented
clown. The website pushed forward asking about the Spaulding lookalike in the poster art. He said, Rob said, well, it doesn't really look like him. I think there's a clown thing in the movie, but it has nothing to do with Captain Spaulding. And, what is in the movie doesn't look like Captain Spaulding either. And we hadn't filmed the movie yet, so we don't know. Either people think I don't think it looks like Captain Spaulding. I mean, it's clown makeup. And Captain Spaulding's kind of a clown, I guess.
Well, I'd be curious to hear what your take is on this because Rob Zombie's one of those guys where he's been really consistently hit and miss. But this last movie he made was really divisive from what I can gather. Like, a lot of people hate Lords of Salem. I was, like, one of the people that really liked it.
Yep.
I could still watch it. I think it's probably, it to me, is right up there with, like, Devil's Rejects as being one of his better films.
It does have similar, I guess, like, but I think it's totally different than those movies in a way, too. It was a different approach.
Yeah.
It was definitely more of a slow build. You know, it didn't have, I mean, you had some weird-ass payoffs in the end, but it was more along the lines of, like, I don't know, like maybe a European horror movie in a way or something.
I thought so, too. But there's people that hate it. They think it's just, like, garbage. But then they turn around and like Halloween, which is like, I'm the exact opposite of whatever that is. But I think that him doing an original horror film is always a good thing. As long as he's not doing a remake, it's usually a good idea.
Yeah, because he has, as long as you let him do his own, like you were saying, his own story, his own characters, I think he's always going to make something pretty good,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I'm not a big fan of Rob Zombie, to be honest. I mean, I wasn't a fan of his music, really. You know, but I think that he's one of those guys that could, if you keep giving him chances, he's going to consistently, you know, bring you a pretty good movie at least. And I thought Lords of Salem was a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. I watched it like at least three times so far.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Tarantino in and of the fact that, like, I always look forward to his stuff coming out, and it's always stylistically different. He always tries to do something different, except in the Halloween movies, where it's pretty much the same. But, like, he usually, like, the films are completely something else. Like the way that they're made and the way that they're written are usually different. And that's
you're always going to get to see Sherry's ass in the movies.
That's
too.
One thing that does stay the same. I enjoy. Yeah. If I had her ass, I'd show it and everything. Like I'd fucking sit outside on the porch.
I just randomly stand out in the street and flash people. You know, make their day.
But there's another dude, man. Like, I hate to say this. I started thinking about this too recently. I don't know what made this thought come over my mind, but it did. Was, I don't know how you're going to feel about me saying this.
Go ahead.
I think that we need Eli Roth. And here's why. Like, at the very least.
Do we need Eli?
At the very least. And I was looking at this movie he's got coming out, The Green Inferno or whatever.
Which is not going to
be. It's not going to be in theaters, no. But he at least provided some controversy and some, like, you hated him. Like, we passionately hated him. You don't get passionate about anything now because there's nothing to really get, like, passionate about. Like, you need a villain. And I kind of started thinking, like, maybe people like us killed the villains, like, because so many people turned against the guy, and so many people turned against, like, guys like him, that there's nobody left to really get passionate about. Everybody's kind of, like, shitty now. They're just middle of the road. And I like James Wan. But James Wan's movies, you have to admit, they're good, but they're safe. They're all, like, they're really safe movies.
It's all the same. Yeah, most of his movies are all ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, proven successes, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
there's nothing about them that is risky and would shake the genre up a little bit.
When Hostel came out, I mean, I hated that movie. I still hate that movie. But people talked about it, like, constantly, you know, either hating it or talking about how great it was or whatever the case is. But nobody's talking about shit now that I know of.
Yeah, because there ain't shit coming out. I was going to look up, because I saw, let me see if I can find it here. I mean, there's, as far as horror films and theaters go, and I know we'll get like a couple people, well, you're not thinking about all the independent horror movies that are coming out. All the independent horror movies that are coming out. I mean, I don't watch them. I see them. They look like fucking shit. Like, they don't look like anything I'd ever want to watch. Because you see them at Walmart, and they look like, you know, it's almost getting to the level where it's so cheap looking, it looks like something, you know, that I would have made and sold on eBay back in the day or something.
Right.
You know, it doesn't look like anything, you know, that I would ever want to even give a chance to watch.
But people, like, I don't know, man. I don't think people really realize how bad it is right now. It's just so fucking boring. Like, the genre itself is just boring.
I know. I mean, it's all like, there was another movie, and this is one that's coming out here in a week or two, called Deliverance from Evil. That's kind of a horror thriller. But they're all either ghost movies or exorcism movies.
What was that movie? Man, you know, I saw three movies right in a row that almost blend together in my mind, and I'm trying to remember what they were, but they were all like child demon movies or like Rosemary Baby ripoffs.
Okay, this one. New York police officer Ralph Sarchi investigates a series of crimes. He joins forces with an unconventional priest schooled in the rituals of exorcism to combat the possessions that are terrorizing their city.
Of course, yeah.
So, is this exorcist going to go after the whole... Is he going to exorcise the city? They haven't done that! Damn!
That's true. They have, like, a whole, like, city-wide exorcism.
No.
But I don't know why that subgenre is really, really popular again, but it seems to be as well. What's that movie called? Devil's Due? Wasn't that the one, like, that came out?
Yeah, I never watched that.
That was awful. And there was one before that, too, that was, like, almost the same fucking movie.
Yeah, but I'm just scrolling through here, you know, The Purge Anarchy, which I think that's going to be a direct-to-video thing.
Well, I don't think that's coming out in theaters, actually. I saw that on TV. Is it coming out in theaters?
Yeah. Well, that's surprising. But I'm scrolling through the rest of the damn year. I don't see any other horror movies come out the rest of the year. Which is, that's crazy. I mean.
Well, one of the things I heard recently, man, was like they were going to, and I still don't know if this is true or not, they were going to stop making the Paranormal Activity movies.
Right. I'm just going through. I'm in August now, so I don't know. Something that I did see today, though. Well, we're going to take a break. I want to talk about this when we come back because it's kind of funny. I had no clue this guy was even alive still. So we'll be talking about that after this break.
Oh, yeah.
Here on DeadBits.com.
I don't want to be mean or anything, but yeah.
He didn't look like he was alive for the last 10 years.
Well, I'm a spaceman, baby.
Hey, folks. Now you have an opportunity to listen to every episode of Dead Pit Radio that's ever been recorded. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
All of your favorite shows with all of your favorite interviews and all of the skits that made us legendary can now be yours. Imagine it.
Yeah, it's not Dead Pit Premium. We've talked about that for a while, but this is an opportunity for the next 3 or 4 months for you to donate some of your money so we can pay for server costs to include such famous Dead Pit episodes as the John Carpenter Show.
Or the George Romero Show.
The Angus Scrim Show, boy!
And so many others, including guys like Joe Dante and Stuart Gordon and all of your favorite directors and actors from horror films.
Scream queens like Linnea Quigley, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis. The list goes on and on and on and on. Tons of interviews and skits all the way back to the very first Dead Pit Radio Show, which hasn't been heard in, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Probably at least that. So all we're asking is for a small donation from a lot of people to keep this going.
Yeah.
And all of those shows can be yours.
That's right. Brand new Dead Pit website is debuting this fall. And the goal is, by probably September or October, it'll be up. And it will, if your donations meet expectations, okay, and there's no masturbations on board, it'll include 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and yes, 2014. We've been doing this show too fucking long.
That's true, but think about it. You can get it at the beginning, you can get it in the middle, and you can get it towards the end, which is where we're at right now.
That's true.
But all that can be yours from the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
DeadPit.com. Donation boxes on the main page. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn horror t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's WESVANCE @gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image or type out the code, either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's WESVANCE@gmail.com, WesVance@gmail.com, or on Facebook, private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Right now, and this is George Hardy, who played Michael Waits in the great, fantastic, best, worst movie ever made, Troll 2, and I just want everybody to know that you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it!
Howdy-o, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. The person I was talking about, of course, was legendary heel in the Western genre, Eli Wallach, who, didn't really have that many. I don't know if he had any horror credits. He probably did. He's been around since fucking like 1800 something.
Well, he's one of those actors too that he almost completely changed appearance. Like, there's a few guys like that where, like, his stuff in the 70s, he looked one way, and then some of the more recent stuff that he did in like the 90s and 2000s, he looked like a completely different person. Another guy did that was Charles Cyphers. We're like, right. You're like, you're sitting there like.
Well, I think Charles Cyphers, that was just God's hand that was dealt to him. He just put on some weight and lost all his hair, and he just looked completely different.
But you were talking about the fact that you thought he'd been dead for.
I honestly did. And I'm looking on here, like, he'd been in movies up until, like, 2010. Which he was
in.
Wasn't
he in the Omen remake? He was in some.
Let's see. I don't know. I mean, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
He was in some shit.
He was in Mystic River. I remember that. He was the one. He just had like a cameo in that. But anyway, I mean, classic actor. But honestly, I completely forgot about him still being alive. He was 98 years old. He was born December 7th, 1915. I mean, shit. So he definitely had a long life. Of course, everyone remembers him from The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
Hey, Blondie!
The Magnificent Magnificent Seven.
Yep.
And, you know, so he's one of those guys. He'll always be remembered, and he definitely lived a long freaking life. So definitely wanted to mention that on here as well. But, you know, some of the other news this week, I've got it all on here. I'm on iPad this week because we are in the Dead Pit Studios. We didn't say that.
Yeah, it's a special
thing. Yeah, usually Uncle Bill and I just do the Skype thing now because we have, you know, I've got this mixer here that sometimes it'll work for me and sometimes it won't. So, anyway, let me figure out where I'm at on here. But the big thing, there's a few things that came out this week. I just want to touch on it real quick because, you know, other than the original Predator movie, I don't really give a shit about Predator franchise at all. I don't care.
Like,
the first movie was great, but Shane Black, who starred in the first movie,
yep,
and I think he wrote the first movie, didn't he? He is in charge of what was said to be the remake, but it's a sequel now. so we will see how that goes. Pull it up here.
I don't remember what his name was in Predator, because I remember Arnold saying it over and over again. Was it Hawkins?
Yeah, I think so.
Hawkins!
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Son of a bitch, he was skinned alive!
But, I mean, I've seen Predator so much, like, I probably never want to watch it again. That's how many times
I've seen it. The truth of the matter is, man, like, I probably had a little bit of interest about the Predator franchise when, like, Alien vs. Predator came out, And then after that, no. And then by this point, after Predators, which I didn't think was horrible, but it wasn't very good either, I don't give a single shit. But Fred Decker's got something to do with that.
Right, yeah, I was going to mention that too. Who, you know, Fred Decker hasn't done hardly anything. I don't think he's done a damn thing in Hollywood since RoboCop 3. I think that essentially killed his fucking career. But, you know, of course, Decker and Shane Black, as you recall, wrote The Monster Squad together.
Right.
Which Fred Decker directed.
Why couldn't they do a remake of that?
I want them to leave The Monster Squad alone. Because, you know, if it comes out today, it'll be like fucking Harry Potter or something.
It'd be so killing it.
But anyway, Fred Decker and Shane Black are also, they're both writing, well, actually, I think it says here that Fred Decker's the only one writing the script, which is interesting. And Shane Black is the one that's working on the, they are co-writing, I'm sorry, I'm dyslexic today. They're both co-writing the script together in the new Predator movie. The initial report said that Black's new Predator film would be a reboot. Black told a website recently that he and Decker see the project as definitely not a reboot. As far as Fred and I are concerned, he said, why start over when you got all the rich mythology yet to mine? He said he doesn't like reboots generally, but can really get behind inventive sequels, noting that he likes the idea of expanding and exploring the existing Predator mythology rather than hitting the restart button. He went on to say that Decker, who's writing the screenplay, okay, they both wrote the story, Decker's writing the screenplay, there we go, is perfect for a project, adding the two had a blast writing the screenplay for the Monster Squad together. Which, you know, I thought Shane Black for a while had kind of forgot about that, or wanted to distance himself from that that era, I guess, of his career, that part
of his
career.
Dude has had a weird history. I know he was like either a drug addict or an alcoholic something like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case, because he was out of the limelight for a long damn time.
And I remember reading something about him where they did like a Rolling Stone piece, and he was, I mean, he lost years and years and years where he didn't do, I mean, he was huge for the period of the 80s.
Yeah, he wrote all the Lethal Weapon movies.
And then he just fucking whatever, you know.
I mean, hell, in the late 80s, early 90s, it didn't get any better, bigger than Lethal Weapon, I mean, as far as the franchise.
I was actually watching one of those movies the other day. Those movies were great for that time period.
Yeah, I don't know how well they've aged.
We can meet Danny Glover soon, though.
Well, we should definitely meet Danny Glover and say hey to him.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, say I'm too old for this shit.
Swear to God, I just want him to sign that, man. That'd be amazing. You know somebody will ask him that.
I'm sure. That's probably what he signs on it anyway. That's just crap. I mean, Danny Glover at one time was like a big star.
He was. He was like one of the bigger black guys, like bigger. It didn't sound right at all. One of the bigger black stars that was out there as far as the 80s, for sure.
Yeah.
He was in The Color Purple and Lethal Weapon and then Lethal Weapon 2 and then Lethal Weapon 3. And then pretty much he only did Lethal Weapon movies for about 10 years. Then Predator 2, he did that in between.
Another bit of news, though, that Lee Whannell, who we all know is working on Insidious Chapter 3, he's one of James Wan's good buddies from Australia. The third film, of course, like we were saying, directed by Whannell, who penned all three films, who wrote all three films. Focus Features has acquired the rights to release Insidious Chapter 3 on Film District and plan to bring the film in theaters on April 3rd, 2015. I'd be shocked if the film made it to theater simply because Lee Whannell's directing it. I don't think he's ever, I think this is his first film he's ever directed.
I thought he directed one of the fucking Saw movies.
I don't think so. I think
James Wan directed one, then Darren Lynn Bousman directed
one. Darren Lynn Bousman directed like all of them after.
Did he? I was one of them fuckers. So. There's like a whole mess of them that I get confused. Yeah,
I might be wrong, though. If I am wrong, I'm sure there's a fucking guy on Facebook by the name of Sledgehammer that'll message me and he'll tell me, because there's all kinds of people like that that can go and look shit up online and just, you know, oh, you're wrong, buddy. Anyway, another reason this thing's not going to be in theaters is they announced recently that Dermot Mulroney is starring in the film. And
Yeah,
he pretty much directs the DVD material. No offense to Dermot Mulroney, but...
You're going to piss him off.
Yeah. I know he's an avid listener of the show.
Actually, you're right. That guy's never fucking directed anything. Yeah. He's always written.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember James Wan, I think, saying that. That was his first ever movie. So.
Why? Dude. I always get these two people mixed up, and I don't know why. But the guy that was in American Horror Story, who I don't think is Dermot Mulroney,
no.
I always get him mixed up with Dermot Mulroney because they look almost fucking identical. I forget what that guy's
name is. Let's see what Dermot Mulroney did.
I know he's in Young Guns. That's the only movie I really remember him from. Yeah.
He had a small role in that, too, didn't he?
He was the shit-kicking guy that chews tobacco or whatever. But what the fuck is that other guy's name, then? The guy that's in American Horror Story?
Some douche.
Dylan?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Let's see. Dermot Mulroney, or Rooney. He's been in a bunch of TV shows recently. He was in The Gray. I guess that was the last.
Oh, that was. Yeah, he was. How about that?
He must have been in Burn After Reading, but I think it was a small role. He was in Zodiac. Small role. Again,
with Brother Brudeye.
Yeah. He hadn't been in much, man. I'm down to the 90s now, and he was in that movie Bad Girls, which, you can see, Drew Barrymore's titties in that, which I highly recommend.
That movie came
still
out
in
the
early
20s. Exact right time for
at
us.
At that point. Yeah.
We were like 16.
We were 14. That was 14. Primo masturbation material back in the day. That was before we could really get a hold of porns unless they were our dads.
Yeah, and the internet didn't really exist at that point.
So if you see any titties, that's just, you put the VCR on like slow-mo and then you start jacking it. That's what I did at least.
Slow-mo, really?
Yeah,
I just called it.
You look at those titties in slow motion. Yeah, I mean, Dermot Mulroney, though, he hadn't done much. So, I don't... If he's the star of the film, I seriously doubt it being in any theater, direct-to-DVD material again. Sorry, Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, that guy really, like, hasn't been in anything of note or even had a big role in anything of note. I wish I could think of it.
Dylan McDermott. That's who you're thinking.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they got similar names. You can put this one under the I Do Not Need list. Silent Night, Deadly Night, 30th Anniversary Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The street date for this one, for some reason, September the 16th. I would put it out around Christmas time, wouldn't you? I don't know. Be a good stocking stuffer.
I don't think either one of us ever really get any kind of enjoyment out of watching that movie again.
No. But the thing is, Chuck Selye, who passed away, we had him on the show years ago, and he was a great guy.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if Chuck would have been alive, he wouldn't let that happen to us.
That's true. It follows, the movie, of course, follows a young tormented boy who grows up to go on a murderous rampage dressed as Santa Claus. And, of course, in the early 80s, it received a ton of negative feedback from mothers and Siskel and Ebert and all that bullshit. Honestly, though, I mean, even though some of the producers in this movie kind of fucked us over in a way. I don't want to go into detail with that. But,
no. We probably get sued for even talking about it.
We almost got sued before, so fuck. I honestly don't think... I think the DVD of this thing is fine. You don't need, like... some movies... I just don't need a Blu-ray of...
Mm-hmm.
It's a low-budget movie. It's not going to really look that good anyway. Yeah, I think I can live without the 30th anniversary of Silent Night, Deadly Night on Blu-ray.
I know one thing, though, man, that was recently announced on the page and everything that I didn't even know about until it came out. A lot of people are excited about it for one particular film on Blu-ray, too, is the whole Exorcist thing. the...
I did see that, yeah.
It wasn't just that The Exorcist is being re-released on Blu-ray, which it is, but also the sequels are all being released on...
In a big box set, yeah.
Which part three is the one that everybody's, like, been talking about forever in a fucking fortnight about. Because, man, I don't see how anybody in their right mind can defend part two. Like, that is just simply one of the most
boring fucking
movies.
It's just
really boring.
It's just right behind you there, too, all the DVD is.
It's just one of the worst movies, man. Like,
yeah, it's a good cure for insomnia, though. I mean,
we watched it, didn't we? Wasn't it us that watched it?
We tried to watch it.
Yeah,
I think we tried to watch it.
And it's just one of those movies that's insanely painful to try to sit through. And not because it's not bad, and it's, I mean, in the way of it being like good, it's just boring. It makes like the biggest mistake of just being a boring fucking movie.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah,
it really is. But part three is cool, and hey. You know, as long as the price, I don't know how much the retail price is, as long as it's fair, it's something that, hey, you know, I'm not buying a lot of Blu-rays anymore, but this is something I'll probably get because it's got all the movies on it. It's got, you know, Exorcist 1 through 3,
mm-hmm.
and it's got the Exorcist Beginning, and it's got the, whatever the other one was, Dominion or something
like
that.
I've never been able to make it through those movies, by the way.
But it's cool to have them all.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but have you ever seen the...
No,
two?
I've never seen either.
I've never been able to, like, watch them. I've tried.
So we got that. Let's see. Scream Factory. They've announced and revealed the special features for the upcoming Blu-ray and DVD combo pack of Motel Hell, which... Streets on August the 12th and has an amazing cover, by the way. I think
it's got
one
of the best ones, yeah.
Yeah. Includes a new audio commentary with the director, Kevin Connor, moderated by a good friend of ours, actually, filmmaker Dave Parker, which I think he's a big fan of that movie. Also, it takes all kinds of the making of Motel Hell, featuring interviews with director Kevin Connor, the producer, Robert Jaffe. Jaffe. Stephen Charles Jaffe and actor Mark Silver. New shooting and old, shooting old school with, I got an interview with the cinematographer of the movie. Yeah. Cinematography in that? Do you remember it being? I don't know. That's a little weird.
No.
Another head on the chopping block interview with actor Paul Link. From glamour to gore, an interview with actress Roseanne Caton. Be Thy Name, a look back at Motel's frightful female protagonist, Ida Smith, theatrical trailer, of course, photo galleries, 1080 high definition, DTS master audio, all that good stuff. So that's a big one. That's, you know, I've really been slacking on the Scream Factory releases just simply because they haven't had much that I really wanted, but this is one that I do kind of want.
They release so much stuff, man. You got to kind of be choosy about what you buy with them. You'd be spending like $1,000 a month. Although I have to have that one just for the cover. Honestly, that's one of the few, like, movies I would buy just for the fucking cover. I don't even like that movie that much, but...
Mm-hmm.
But.
I'll tell you one that I think Lionsgate's coming out with that I think that it's just the right price point where I might just be like, fuck it, I'm going to get it so I can have all those movies. They're releasing a Blu-ray box set of all of the Leprechaun movies with the new Leprechaun movie that's coming out from WWE Films.
Yeah.
And it's retailing for $39.99, which means it'll probably be $20 at some places.
Which, there's a lot of those movies, too. I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, there's like at least, what, five of the original ones and then the new one.
You got the fucking, you had two movies in the hood, one movie in space, and like at least one in Vegas or something like that.
Yeah, you had two in the hood, the one in space, then you had, let's see, there might be seven then. No, you had Leprechaun 1 through 3. Then that's when the other started, so it'd be six.
Yeah.
I think.
A lot. But that's good price,
yeah. I mean, I think Lionsgate's smart in the fact that they know that these movies are kind of shitty, but people at that price would probably buy them.
Yeah.
And it'll be in Walmart, and people will just pick it up. It's $20. Like, oh, fuck, those movies are goofy. They'll sell a shit ton of them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually kind of looking forward to the new one, see what horns.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably buy 20. You know, for $20, I'd probably buy the new one.
You know what, though? That would be a gimmick that I would actually probably buy into if they did the show. Have fucking Warwick Davis dress up as the Leprechaun for photo ops.
Yeah, because they can do that cheap. Like, Warwick Davis would be like, $20! Another one though, that Scream Factory's coming out with. This fucking iPad keeps, it's about to go dead, I think.
You're about to go dead.
I'm gonna whip your fucking eye. Squirm. Did you know they were coming out with this? I had no clue. In October, they're releasing the 1976 Nature Gone Berserk Jeff Lieberman classic to Blu-ray for the very first time. No details on the extras yet, but it will be one of their collector's edition series with new artwork to be revealed soon. So, we can look forward to that one as well.
I couldn't even tell you the last time I saw that movie, though. And to me, though, his masterpiece is not Squirm.
I would say it's, Just Before Dawn?
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, it has to be.
Just a couple more news topics on here. Not a whole lot of other things going on. They're doing another fucking Resident Evil movie, which this is only going to be the sixth one. I thought they'd made way more than that.
I did too. Does it just seem like they're making one of those movies every year for like the last 15 years or?
Something I want to talk to you about, and then, you know, we're only going to do a brief show this week because we ain't got a whole lot of shit planned. You know, the Halloween Complete Collection thing coming out. And I don't know if I talked to you about this or not.
You didn't, but I was wondering when we were going to talk about it, because goddamn, like,
well,
it's probably one of the bigger releases.
Yeah, me and Steve talked about it a little bit. But
what
I wanted to talk to you about is, since we have all these, we bought all these movies, we already have them on Blu-ray. Is this a set that you're going to buy for $169.99?
No.
Right. I agree with you, too, and I'm a big Halloween fan.
Look, man. How am I going to justify, unless I'm rich, and I'm not fucking rich, like paying that much money for essentially what would be two films, basically? Because the producer's cut's on there, I think. That was the last thing I heard, was that the producer's cut was on there.
Well, yeah. That's the only way you can, I mean, and we're going to get Felcher on here at some point again. I want to ask him. I want to be like, look, Felcher, I mean, I know you don't run, you know, you just work for these studios, but I think that it's the biggest bunch of bullshit that Scream Factory and Anchor Bay, you know, more than the fact Anchor Bay, because they've re-released shit, I don't know how many fucking times, you know.
They've made like $1 million just re-releasing Halloween and Evil Dead, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
they get the rights to all this shit and give a big fuck you to the fans that have paid for all these other releases that they've come out with. You know, and you're talking, Scream Factory's releases were $24, $25 a piece when they come out.
Uh-huh.
And they just came out, you know, a couple years ago by the time this thing comes out.
Well, fuck, man, Halloween 3 just came out like, what, 6 months ago or something? It wasn't that long ago.
Well, it was like, I think it was one of their first releases in the fall of like 2012, actually. It came out longer than you thought.
Really?
Yeah. It was the first releases. But you're also taking the fact that Universal, probably 6 months before that, came out with Halloween 2 on Blu-ray before. You
know? And I don't know how many goddamn versions of Halloween there are.
Yeah. I bought both versions. I had Halloween 2, the Universal, and I have Halloween 2 from Scream Factory. And Anchor Bay has come out with two different versions of Halloween on Blu-ray, both of which I've bought, or I actually received one under review. But Halloween 4 and Halloween 5 on Blu-ray.
Just recently, or not
already.
Yeah, not
that
very
came
long
out
ago.
Within the last year. And now they come out with this set, and I will say this, it's cool that all of them are together. It's 15 disc set. The box looked cool and everything else. But the only thing new in that whole set is the producer's cut. And that's all that anybody, and there's going to be hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably of these sets sold for people just wanting that one damn disc. And I've had enough of this bullshit. They should have released a single version. You know, if they want to make the most money possible, release a single version of every one of those.
Wouldn't they do that at some point, too? I mean,
you would
think.
I'm sure they will, but I think it's a big fuck you to the fans, whoever made that decision.
Well, it's business, clearly. Like, they put it in there.
That's being greedy, though. Like, and I, you know, I'm asking the fans, don't fucking pay that shit, you know? You're paying that's too much damn money. You know, that's $170. It's probably not going to be any more cheaper than that too, because that's Scream Factory.
Yeah.
Scream Factory shit never goes down. It's always a sale on Scream Factory Blu-ray is $18.
Well, you've talked about this. Then you've already looked at what is the what are they doing? Are they putting new special features on it?
No,
what are they doing?
I don't think they're putting. They've got it's the same discs that they, you know, there's no special.
Well, who gives a fuck? Who would buy it that has all the other Blu-rays?
From what I understand it, you know, there's the TV cut of Halloween 2 that's already been out there. They may be doing a TV cut of the original Halloween on Blu-ray, but who gives a shit? At that price point, like,
there's got to be something to it, man. There's got to be. Who would, like, there has to be a catch to buying all that shit and, like, I mean.
On there, because this damn iPad's fucked up, but I'll get on my iPhone and look.
Because I'm seriously trying to figure out how you could justify spending that much money on just buying one new thing.
Because all the fans and, you know, everybody wants the box set, all the films together, everybody wants Halloween 6 producer's cut, even though it's an inferior version of that movie. I've always said that.
Right.
You know.
I think that's one of those things where people are just fixated with the idea of that movie, not because I like it, but people think it sucks. That movie not sucking, you know what I mean? Like there being a version out there to where it's amazing, but that version's not any better. It's really not. Worse.
I like the theatrical version better, to be honest. I mean, it's interesting. Like when we watched it years and years ago, like it's cool to see what it is, just because, you know, we'd seen that movie for years and years and didn't know what the producer's cut was. It is cool to watch. And it's going to be interesting to see, though, like, also, is this going to be real high definition, that producer's cut, or is it going to be a shitty, I'm just interested in seeing how that goes, too. Okay, I got the info up here, finally.
Like a work print version, you know what I mean? I wonder what it'll look like.
There's two different versions of this that's coming out, by the way, too, which I think Steve told me about that, but I forgot about it. I'm looking it on here.
Okay.
Okay. That one's $129.99. And it includes the original theatrical versions of the Halloween films, which I guess the producer's cut's not in that one. Or the TV cut and all that shit, which who in the hell's going to buy that? Okay, 15 Blu-ray box set is packed with hours of brand new bonus features, including new interviews. New interviews with the cast and crew of the entire franchise. In response to the years of fan feedback, the first Halloween will now also include the original mono audio track, and the set will include both versions of the original Halloween, the original Blu-ray release, and the recently remastered 35th anniversary mono track. So, it's just two different versions of the Blu-ray. It's not different cuts for the original Halloween. Let's see. It also includes a limited edition 40-page booklet written by Michael Gingold. Oh, exciting.
fuck yeah.
The collectible.
That's what
packaging.
I'm buying it.
Yeah, it doesn't really say any more than that. You know, the artwork's cool, it looks cool, but at the same time, you know, and I know some people jack off about special features and stuff, but how many times are you going to let these studios burn your ass? You know, that's $160. That's a lot of money, you know. At least the Friday the 13th set, none of those films had been out on Blu-ray. You know, at least five or six of them had not been out on Blu-ray yet, and you get, like, the ultraviolet version of those movies too, but it still was like, I paid like, I think it was like $60 or something for that, and it was in this big tin and had all kinds of shit.
I don't
know what they're getting with $160 price.
Honestly, what it seems like to me with the Halloween set was, it's much more about the idea of it that like catches people's attention and the packaging and the idea of having all the movies together. Cause if that's the case, like if there's nothing really new except somebody wrote some liner notes and there's like a booklet and the set, the way the set looks and then the producer's cut and that's pretty much it, then
There's some interviews, there's a 40-page booklet.
You'd have to be the most hardcore motherfucker, like, just...
Now...
About Halloween that there ever existed.
Hey, if I could find a... Okay. If I could find a set, a sale, like, you know, with the, you know, for $60 or something, maybe. But I'm... There's no way... I could justify rebuying all those movies, even though it looked cool. Hey, it's in this cool box set, and I'm sure every motherfucker that's listening is going to buy it, because I know how you fuckers are.
True.
I've seen fuckers, you know, buy the fourth or fifth DVD blue or DVD set of the Friday the 13th series.
I swear to God.
Same people that bitch and moan buy it shit.
I swear to God, man. I believe that there are people out there that just buy the same editions of... the same or different editions of the same movie just so they can post shit on Facebook that shows like how many different versions of the same movie they have. That's what I've noticed anyway. Like
my days as far as that shit is, and thank God it saved me some money. You know, those days are over. You know, it's like, you know, it's a cock measuring contest for these fucking horror fans. It's like, look at all these movies. I've got a whole fucking basement, wall to wall, full of a bunch of shit I'm never going to fucking watch. That's basically what it is, you know. And you know this is true. You know that's how people are. Look how big my collection is. It's bigger than yours. Who gives a shit,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't get that, you know. If it's just going to sit there, it's cool to look at. Yeah, you got a cool collection. You're never going to watch the shit. You're buying the same shit over and over again.
I have mixed feelings about this, though, because, like, I agree with you, but we used to do shit like this, though.
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's how, you know, thankfully, Cinema Sickness over on YouTube, he fixed me. Cause I was like,
I don't think either one of us really buy anything like.
Well, anymore. Yeah, I know, not like that. Because now, man, I mean, honestly, like, if you want to watch a movie, and I know you don't agree with me a lot of the ways on this, but you can fucking stream it. Anything you want to watch.
It's not
much.
That I don't agree with you. I just don't have
right.
that, like Ultraviolet or anything like that. But I can see how it would work because I'm a big fan of Netflix. I can see like that there's benefit in being able to do things yeah. like that. But the main thing is like at this point, I think at least for us that the idea of having special edition and collector's editions of the same movies that have been released.
Yeah. You got
especially.
Like you got 14 copies of Evil Dead. You got 19 copies of Halloween.
Yeah.
Anchor Bay's been burning their asses for fucking 15, 16 years. The same fucking movie.
At some point.
How many fucking versions of the same goddamn movie are we going to buy from them?
Yeah. At some point, it's got to stop because.
Yeah.
There's not anybody left to tell any stories about these movies. What are you going to, like, what's going to happen? Like, what kind of new information are you going to get? You're not. Like, there's, and,
no. You know, and people want extra features and shit.
Bulls.
How many documentaries do we have? You know, you've got Halloween, 25 Years of Terror. You're not going to get any more info. You know, unless they do another 4-hour or 5-hour documentary like they did for Never Sleep Again or you know, Crystal Lake, or the, what was it called? Crystal Lake Memories. Okay, I'm having a brain fart, but.
Which I love those movies, but.
What more do you need? You know, my beef with Anchor Bay and Scream Factory is they should have, even if it was a website exclusive or something, do something to not fucking finger fuck your fans that just want the producer's cut Blu-ray. Release that by itself. Everything it. And hey, if you did that, I'd give you a golf clap all day long. Because you did right. But no, you're trying to get fans to spend a lot of their hard-earned money. And I know a lot of these fans, we know who our fans are, our listeners and shit. They don't, a lot of them don't make a whole lot of money, man. I mean, they really don't. Like, you and I don't make a whole lot of money.
No. Not the kind of money where we can just go out and fucking piss it away. No. You know?
And you're asking a lot of the fans that spend their money on your product and have already bought your product, you know, like me and Uncle Bill has, you're fucking them again, man. I can't get behind that, and I'm not buying that fucking set. So, that's all I've got to say about that.
Like Forrest Gump or something?
I would advise everybody to do that because I think that that type of behavior is bullshit, and I will tell Michael Slipcase Felcher the same fucking thing. I don't know. He probably agrees with me deep down, but he won't say it on the show because, you know, he's a company man.
The truth, shit, he's like the, he's company Triple H or something.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is, though, there are some instances where a Blu-ray, like a new Blu-ray of the same movie is warranted. And then, for example, the Terminator Blu-ray. The first Terminator Blu-ray had a real fucking shitty transfer, and it didn't really do anything for the film. And then they re-released it recently with, like, a lot better transfer.
Man, there's a lot of Arnold movies that's like that.
Yeah. Predator's another one. But that's to me, is like, okay, like, somebody figured out that people actually wanted that, and they didn't.
And really, there's not a really great Terminator 2 Blu-ray either.
True.
You know, all those look kind of
shitty. But if you are not doing anything to the transfers except re-releasing the movies, which I still can't fucking believe
that.
But
you could have, like, some cast and crew interviews on it. You want to know what the cast and crew interviews are? Probably from that fucking documentary.
Probably. Well, the cast and crew interviews are always fucking hilarious anyway because they always just get on there and like, oh, it was killer. I love working with them. Them people were so nice.
Ain't nobody going to tell me jack shit about no Halloween movie that I don't already know.
That's true. Unless, like, Jamie Lee Curtis coming out like, hey, let me tell you something. It's just between me and you. I blew everybody on that set. Fuck you.
They have, like, behind-the-scenes photos of Jamie Lee blowing Michael Myers.
Yeah. Now, that might be...
taking the money shot.
That might be interesting, but I don't think that story's going to come out.
Yeah. Mm. And what makes things even worse is they're putting the Rob Zombie movies in that set.
That makes it worse.
Yeah.
It does, actually.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
God.
It's like, it would be like if you had a set for The Shining and you put, like, the movie and the TV series in there. Like, they're, one is like a giant piece of shit and one of them's a masterpiece. And, like, you can't combine the two of them.
I think that's like, you know, if you release, like, I don't know, Honeymooners box set, right? And you put that shitty fucking movie with Cedric the Entertainer in there. Well, here you go, play us.
That's
enjoy.
True. Yeah. That is true. Because, and I'm sure there are some people, God bless their hearts, that actually think that those Halloween remakes deserve to be in that box set.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine, like... just that existing together.
That's,
I
really you know, that's two turds in the punch bowl. That's what I say.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess that's it, though. We will end the show with that, but wanted to also encourage everybody that hasn't to donate to the Dead Pit website. We're working on the website. Actually want to show it to Uncle Bill before he leaves because he hasn't seen it on a proper computer yet.
I have not seen it, no.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we're still working on a lot of the graphics and stuff's going to be changing on it. And it's not available for you guys yet, but it will be available in September. We'll have it up there. And everybody that wants all the old shows up, there is a link on the main page of Dead Pit where you can help make that happen. Pay for the website costs, the server costs, and all that stuff. And some form of donation box will always be up on Dead Pit for that reason.
Hell yeah.
And
so
if you
want to
buy,
do that,
if you want to buy t-shirts and all that stuff, that'll help as well.
Yeah. Anything you can do to spend money would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, you can do that. You can help Dead Pit, or you can buy the Halloween movies again.
You can spend, like, close to $200 buying all the same shit you already have.
You already have all that shit. So anyway, Uncle Bill, appreciate you joining. But third week in a row, Steve's going to be really mad.
Why is Steve mad, by the way? I keep noticing that.
I don't know.
He keeps freaking out. Oh, shit. He's back again. Oh, they must bought.
We gave Steve he's a part of the sister show for Dead Pit, the Two Against podcast.
That's true. I don't know what the fuck he wants.
He wants to do everything, doesn't he?
He's turned into the fucking Tully Blanchard, son. He's just a workhorse wanting to do it all.
But next week, we will try our best to continue this conversation with should I buy, should I not buy the Halloween set, Michael Slipcase Felcher. We'll see if we can get him on. I tried to get him on about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The motherfucker never responded to me. So
that's weird, too, for him.
Yeah. Then he responded a couple of days later. Man, I was just swamped. I'm sorry. I couldn't. Yeah, whatever.
So he basically took a shit on us and then responded later.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened in a while.
Yeah. So, anyway. We'll see if we can make that happen. If not, we'll do something else.
Let's get half fucking. If not,
I think we'll be the end of the world. So we will be back then. I'm the Creepy Tuckin.
I'm Uncle Bill.
You've been listening to number one rated off the imitated, never duplicated ballers and shock callers of Horror Talk Radio. Dead Pit.
Dot com.